Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pretty in Punk, the punk rock podcast. I am your host, Fiona, your girly girl guide to the world of punk and rock music. And if you're watching on video, yes, I cut my hair last week. I had like 6 more inches on my hair, but I did decide to get the chop and chop my hair off. So this is your sign to watch on video. Just kidding. I prefer to listen to podcasts sometimes too, so I get it. But anyway, today, originally this episode, I was going to do it towards the end of the year, but I decided to do it now. So let me explain why. This episode, I'm going to be talking about my top concerts of 2024, the favorite concerts that I've been to this year. And as of right now, it's October and I don't have any more concerts planned for the rest of the year, but I have been to a lot. So I want to share with you my favorite concerts of the year. But before we get into that, if you didn't know, I do a song of the week every single week where I feature a song that I've been loving recently. And I have a song of the week playlist on Spotify too that you can listen to every song of the week that I feature. So this week I was like, what song am I going to choose? Because there's nothing new that I've been loving. I've been listening to a lot of like the same old stuff, to be honest. But then I got a gift from the Spotify gods, okay? I got a notification on my Spotify and it suggested me a song that it said that I might like, and they were correct. So this song is called Radioactive Me by The Miserables, and immediately, I loved it. This song came out this year in 2024. Now, what was interesting to me is that usually when I get recommended something on Spotify, it's from like a pretty big artist, but they only have about 5,000 monthly listeners and like 1,000 something followers on Instagram. And I don't know why, because this song is great. It's totally up my alley. It has a lot of those classic punk sounds. Like, to me, I would describe this sound as like NoFX, Blink-182, and Descendants combined. Like, it has a lot of those sounds and it's a lot of like that kind of like 80s, 90s punk vibe in there. So I want to read you their Spotify description just real quick so you can get a better feel for these guys. And I hope that you check them out because they're so small and I want to be able to say, yeah, I knew them one. Just kidding. But anyway, The Miserables are a punk rock trio with gritty vocal-driven hooks. And I would definitely say that that is accurate. This song, again, is called Radioactive Me. And they also had a single come out a couple days ago too. So I'll have to be sure to listen to that. But I'm very happy that I found this band today. And I'm here for it. I'm into it. It's totally up my alley. Anyway, that song, Radioactive Me, will be on my Song of the Week playlist on Spotify. The link is in the show notes, YouTube description, and my Instagram bio at Pretty and Punk Pod. So be sure to give that song a listen, give them a follow, and let me know what you think of it in the comments below or on my Instagram. So now, without further ado, let's talk about my favorite concerts that I've been to this year. I've been to many, but I want to share with you the ones that have stood out the most. I want to start off with the band that I actually just saw last weekend, and that is Fiddler. And if you're watching on video, I have their album in the back. That is their self-titled album and my personal favorite of theirs. So I have loved Fiddler since I was 15, maybe. They are one of the first bands that I fell in love with when I was in high school. And they mean a lot to me because of that, because I really discovered my music taste through this band. However, despite loving them for all these years, I've never had a chance to see them live, partly because the last time that I had tickets to see them, I wasn't able to, something came up, but also because when I was in high school, a lot of their shows were 21 plus, so I wasn't able to go. But now I'm 24. And the time has come where I could finally see Fiddler. So I saw them at the Theater of Living Arts in Philly, and I'd never been there before, but I would definitely be there again. The venue is, it's kind of like, it's older looking, but with like a edgier modern twist, I would say. Like, there's these antique chandeliers on the ceiling, but it definitely gives you that like underground venue vibe. So my boyfriend and I drove into Philly and we got there. We thought we were there like 30 minutes before the opener went on. The opener was Sugar Pit, And we thought, because we were only there 30 minutes before they were about to go on, that we were going to be all the way in the back. We were second row away from the barricade, and I was pumped. I was like, this night is dedicated to 15-year-old me. She would be having a heart attack in like almost the front row to Fiddler. So as soon as they came out on stage, I was really, really excited. I have seen a lot of videos of them live, and there's one in particular that is like a fully recorded live performance of theirs. And I remember watching that in high school all the time, just like really intently watching it and wishing that I was there. So I feel like I had come full circle in that moment. And as soon as they came out on stage, they hit you with the energy. Now, I will say one thing about Fiddler. I'm like a purist with Fiddler. I love their self-titled album, and I also love 2, which is their sophomore album. But their newer albums, I'm going to be honest, I don't love. So I wasn't that excited to hear their newer music. They opened with Fix Me, which is one of their newer songs off of their latest album. And I have to say, hearing the new songs live definitely gave me a new appreciation for them. So they opened with Fix Me, as I said, and right away, they just hit you with the energy. I mean, from the opening chords, like, you could feel it. And right away, I was like, all right, maybe I need to give this album another listen, and maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I just didn't appreciate it enough. But they played a lot of songs off of this album, and I gave it another listen, and I think I like it now, especially after seeing it live. I think sometimes you need to hear a song live to fully appreciate it, and I think this is true for that album. So the next song they played, though, was Cheap Beer, and that's, I would believe, is one of their bigger songs, and I love this song. 15-year-old me, when I first started listening to Fiddler, she had never had a sip of alcohol in her life, but I was always like blasting that song and screaming along with the lyrics. So when that song came on, I was pumped. And I think that was like a great second song for them to play live, because Fix Me was a great intro, but then going into Cheap Beer, I love like the super fast strumming in the beginning of it, and immediately the pit starts going, people are flying around, people are bumping into me, and I was having a blast. I really, really was. I was so happy that they played a lot of older songs and a lot of my favorites. My favorite song of theirs is Punks, which is off of their album 2, and it was so good live. I mean, that is just such a sick guitar riff, and it was so great to hear that song live. That's always been my favorite song of theirs. They played a couple of covers too. They did a Blink-182 cover. They did Santeria, just like real quick thrown in there. And then they did Undone, the Sweater song by Weezer, but Zach didn't remember the lyrics and started meowing. I don't know, but it was pretty hysterical. And it was a great crowd. And I mean, like, people were moshing and going crazy, but it wasn't to the point where people were just like being obnoxious about it. Like, people were very respectful, you know, like if they bumped into you and you weren't involved in the pit, they said sorry. Like, and I like that. I'm all for the mosh pit, but you know, sometimes people can be a bit much, you know. Then at one point they did do an all-girl mosh pit, which I didn't get into. My boyfriend was like, go in, and I was like, I don't know why I didn't want to, but eventually for Wake Bake Skate, which is what they closed with, I did go into the pit. He dragged me in against my will. I'm kidding. I was actually fine with it, and it was super fun. And because it was the last song, like, some people had already started to kind of filter out. So it wasn't that crazy, but it was so fun. It was so great seeing them live. They have awesome energy. They have great chemistry. Like, they're always interacting with each other, and I love that. And it was just fun. Like, you could just, the energy was great. I just felt it feeding off of them. And I really hope that I get to see them again, because I need another night like that in my life. So now we are jumping back in time. In April, I saw Descendants, Circle Jerks, and Adolescence. Now, I personally was there for Descendants. They are one of my favorite bands. Milo Goes to College is my all-time favorite album of all time, but I do like Circle Jerks and Adolescence as well. So It was a perfect punk lineup. Now, first of all, I was pretty close. I was off onto the left side, so I didn't want to be in the middle because I did have a feeling for this show, the pit was going to get a little crazy, and I just was not in the mood for that this night, but I was pretty close. I was probably about like 5 rows from the front, but just to the side a little bit. And I had a great view. I could see everyone perfectly. Like, I didn't have a blockage really of anyone, which is great. So I was very happy with my view. And it was still like close enough to the middle where you were still like a part of that energy, you know? So I think I had the perfect spot for that. I'm going to mostly talk about Descendants because that's who I personally was really there to see. But I will say that Adolescence and Circle Jerks were also awesome. And it really was just such a great punk history night. Like, you have so many iconic punk musicians up there. So I was living in the moment. I didn't take that many videos and I was just soaking it all in, honestly. But those two bands were great as well. But as for Descendants, I have been waiting to see this band live for years. This is another band that I started listening to when I was in high school. I was about 15 when I started listening to them, 15 or 16. So getting to see them live, I was like starstruck. Okay. As for their set list, I would say they played a really good mix of songs. Even though Milo Goes to College, I would believe, is their most popular album, or at least one of them, they played a lot of songs from their whole discography. They played a lot of stuff from Everything Sucks, I Don't Want to Grow Up, All, Enjoy. Like, they played a wide range of stuff, and I love that. Also, Milo has really great stage presence. He really is such a great frontman, and I would say he's like an underrated frontman. Like, people don't talk about him enough as a frontman. He has like great facial expressions. He's honestly like kind of humorous sometimes in his facial expressions and things that he does on stage, and his voice sounded great, honestly. They were great live. Now, I remember they opened with Hope, which is off of Milo Goes to College, and I know that album by heart, so I didn't want to look at the set list before. I wanted to be surprised, okay? And I didn't know that they were going to open with this song, but I think this was a great opener. And now every time I hear this song, when I listen to this album, I'm like transported back to when they came on stage. Now I just have a really great memory associated with that song. Now, as for the crowd at the show I was at, I will say it wasn't great. I did have a couple instances where people were just rude, like purposefully knocking into me. Look, I get it. I was standing close to the pit. I know I'm going to get knocked into. I know I may have someone elbow me in the face. It's whatever. I'm not adverse to a mosh pit, okay? I've been in many. But there was a group of guys that was, they seemed to be a little too drunk and a little too rowdy, and they were purposefully pushing people who weren't even involved in the pit. They were just going up to them and like pushing them, or like trying to like push them in the pit, or like purposefully like elbowing them. And there were a couple instances where this group of guys did that to me, like just looked me in the eyes and then just pushed me. And like, for what? Like, what's the reason? I'm just standing there vibing to the music. Like, what's the point in that? If I am actively involved in the mosh pit and you push me, whatever. If I am standing like 5 rows away from the mosh pit and you're just going to go up to me, look at me, and then push me, like, what's the reason, you know? So that's the one thing I will say. There were a couple instances like that, and it was more than one time that this guy, he was with a group of other guys who knocked into me and also this group of girls in front of me. So I am not for that. Like, please just don't purposefully be an a-hole and push into people on purpose because you think it's funny or whatever. If I'm in the mosh pit, go right ahead. If I'm not, get away from me. But aside from that, one thing that I did love about this concert is that it was all ages. I mean, there were people younger than me there. There were people obviously in their 60s, and there were people my age and above. It was all ages, and I think that's awesome. And I love that because I love seeing people who are younger than me that listen to punk music, because that's my goal with this podcast, is just like, first of all, reaching other people who love punk music, but also exposing people who may not know about punk bands or punk music to punk music, because I love it. Punk music will never die, okay? And I'm making sure that I keep it alive. And when I see really young fans of punk music, I think that's awesome. And especially too, I love connecting with people my age who also listen to punk music. So all in all, it was great to see just all ages enjoying this music, resonating with this music. And it just shows you that this band and this genre of music is timeless. So as for the next band, back in August, I saw Cage the Elephant. It was my second time seeing them. And the first time I saw them at See Here Now. And at that point, I only knew like their top three songs, like Ain't No Rest for the Wicked, Cigarette Daydreams, all those. But I didn't really know much about them, and I didn't know a lot of their other music, but from that day forward, I then got really into them, and I love a lot of their songs, and they have so many like hidden gems, and even if you're not that big of a fan, you gotta see them, because first of all, the frontman, Matt Schultz, he's insane, okay? And I say that lovingly. Like, I say that in a positive way. The first time I saw them, he was like climbing up scaffolding. Like, he was probably like six stories in the air climbing up the stage. Crazy. Okay. The second time that we saw them, the rest of the band comes out on stage and he's last to come out, and he comes out on one of those like knee scooters that you ride, like where you put your one leg on it if you've broken your leg or your knee or something. And apparently a few days before, he had jumped off a stage and now had to be in this scooter and a cast. And like, I would expect nothing less. Even though he was on this, he was still like vibing with the music, scooting around stage. It was kind of hilarious. I'm sorry that he broke his leg or his knee, but it was kind of funny. I can't lie. I mean, they just have so many great songs. Like, we have In One Ear. That was actually one of my songs of the week a few weeks back. We have Spider Song, Sabretooth Tiger. There's so many. And they're all such great songs that this was a summer concert, an outdoor summer concert. And they're just the perfect vibe for that, because they have very colorful lights, and the music is so great to like dance to or like rock out to, whatever. And I think the knee scooter was just an added bonus. I mean, when he came out on that, at first I was like, is he joking? But then I was like, oh no, like he's in that. So that was pretty funny. But now that I've seen them twice, I can confidently say I would totally see them again, given the chance. And I'm pretty sure that they're opening up for Oasis next year. Wait, I need to fact check myself, because I do believe this is true. Yes, they are opening up for Oasis, and I want to see that, because that's just like a crazy moment in history that Oasis is coming back. So I'm hoping that I get to see them with Oasis. That would be pretty freaking cool. But seriously, if you haven't seen Cage the Elephant, again, even if you only know a few songs, go see them, because their showmanship and their energy on stage is unmatched. And especially Matt Schultz, he's crazy when he's not in his scooter. He's running around, and usually he wears some like funky outfits. So you got to go see Cage the Elephant. So this next band that I saw has a name that you cannot forget. Back in August, I saw King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, but I'm going to be calling them King Gizzard for short for these purposes, because I'm not going to say that name over and over again like 8 million times in this podcast episode. First of all, the journey getting to this concert was chaotic, to say the least. I drove into Philly on a Monday night. It was my boyfriend driving, me and my brother. And we are all fans of this band, so we all wanted to go together, but we're all working people. So during the work week, you know, typically you're done at 5. And then during rush hour, we had to drive into Philly, which was typically like an hour and a half drive that turned into a 2 hour plus drive because of crazy traffic. The concert was at the Dell Music Center, and if you've ever been there, I've learned my lesson that you have to get there early because the parking is insane. Like, people were just parking all over the place, on lawns, like on sidewalks, like it was crazy. People were parking everywhere. So finally, we got there. Originally, our ETA was 6:30. We finally got there like almost an hour after that, We parked at some random trail and it was pitch black. I was scared. I was a little nervous. I was like, oh, this seems kind of sketchy. We then had to walk a mile to get to the Dell Music Center, and we got there 10 minutes before they got on stage, and it was like a sigh of relief when I finally sat in my chair and got there, because the journey, guys, it was chaotic. So if anyone else out there has ever been to the Dell Music Center and has experienced the chaotic parking situation, please let me know. But anyway, if you don't know King Gizzard, they experiment with every genre possible. I mean, they have heavy metal, they have psych rock, they have more like jazzy rock. They do it all. Like, I'm probably missing a lot because they dabble in everything. I love that. It really makes them, I mean, the name alone makes them stand out, but this makes them stand out as well, because I think no matter what kind of music fan you are, there's a song of theirs that you will like and you will resonate with. Now, first of all, because of their psychedelic type of music, they definitely appeal to like a psych rock kind of crowd, and they had a lot of visuals that were super psychedelic and it was cool. I mean, it was very trippy and I was there for it. Like, I thought it was sick. Just a lot of like colors and lights. And it's also really interesting hearing them transition from more psych rock songs to the heavy metal songs live. And they do it all so well. Like, there's not one song that they played where I was like, okay, like that wasn't as good as the others. Like, they were all great. And the last like few songs, they brought out this giant like board of all these different like pedals and soundboards and stuff. I don't know all the technical terms, guys, but they were all like messing with them, and they played this one song called Gilgamesh, and they were all like messing. It was crazy, like seeing all of them like playing with these soundboards and these different like automated instruments and stuff. It was very, very cool. And like, you couldn't look away. It was fascinating. Also, for a lot of their songs too, they extended them a lot and had a lot of like jams at the end of their songs and these like crazy guitar solos. And it was just fun. Like, it was just a night of music and a night of all different kinds of music, but all from this one band. I would totally see them again. Hopefully next time I see them, it's not on a Monday night and I don't have to drive in crazy rush hour traffic, but I would definitely see them again. And I'm excited to see also too where they go from here, because being that they test all the waters and play so many different genres, I mean, there really is no limit to what they're going to do and what they're going to play. So if there is one band that I can't wait to hear more from, it is definitely King Gizzard. So the last band that I want to touch on is not punk at all. And as you guys know, I'm a punk-based podcast, but this band I want to talk about, they're not punk in the slightest. And that is Mountjoy. Now, I knew a few Mountjoy songs before going. Basically, how this happened, how I ended up going, was my boyfriend's friend had tickets and then he couldn't go anymore and he couldn't find anyone to take the tickets. So we were like, okay, well, sure, like we'll go. And my boyfriend knew some songs. He knew more than me. I probably only knew like two songs going into it. And on the way there, his other friend said to us, he said, honestly, like when I first saw them, I didn't know them, but they are one of the best bands I've ever seen live. And he was right. Okay. First of all, the sound quality was great. I believe it was at the Man that we saw them, and the sound quality there was great. And even though we were far back, like you still had a really good view of everything, and they are very, very talented. Now, being that I only knew two songs, I didn't know much going in, but they did play the few songs that I liked, but they also opened my eyes to a lot of songs that when they played them, I was like, ooh, like this is really good. I'm gonna have to listen to this later. And now I've kind of been like on a kick with them. And especially, I feel like it's good, like fall music, if that makes sense. Like when I'm on my walks in the evening, I'm listening to Mountjoy. One thing that was cool about them too was that there was no opener, and at first I was like a little confused by that because I don't think I've ever been to a concert that didn't have an opener or more than one opener. And how they did that was that they played for a little bit, took a break, and then came back. So they had kind of like an intermission in between, and I kind of wish more bands did that, especially bands with a very large discography. I think more bands should do that. And maybe more bands do, and I just don't know. But any band I've ever seen, they've never done that. They've never like taken a break and then come back to play the rest of their set. I'm so here for it because it's nice. Like, you get to see the band that you love and you're going to see. Then you can take a break, get a drink, a snack, go to the bathroom, and then come back and do it all over again. So, and they played a whole different list of songs in the second half of their set too. So it wasn't like it was the same thing. It was a complete set with just a break in between, and I'm here for it. More bands need to do that. At one point, some of the members of the band also went into the crowd and were like playing in the middle of the crowd. That was super cool. Also, I saw them in Philly, and the Philly Fanatic came out on stage, and he was ripping the guitar. It was sick. Didn't know he had that ability in him. But all in all, this punk girl loved Mountjoy. I thought that they were great. I would definitely see them again, and I hope that they come to my area soon because I would love to experience that concert again. So guys, this brings us to the end of this week's episode of Pretty in Punk. If you made it this far, I want to hear from you. Please tell me what your favorite concert of 2024 was or has been so far. Let me know by either leaving a comment on Spotify, on my YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube, or on my Instagram or TikTok. And that being said, you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Pretty in Punk Pod, and there I post short clips of each episode and some updates as well. If you want to listen to the podcast, Pretty in Punk, the punk rock podcast, is available on all streaming platforms. So whatever your favorite streaming platform is, you can find me there. And you can also find the same name, Pretty in Punk, the punk rock podcast, on YouTube as well. And as for my Song of the Week playlist, that will be on Spotify, but it will be linked again in the show notes, YouTube description, and in my Instagram bio. So you can check out all of the songs that I am loving. I post a new episode every Friday. So until then, I will see you in the next episode.